Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
As promised, never late, but always on time.
Hey, man, maybe like I said before you hit record, it's hot out here. I gotta take a second shower today, damn it.
Yeah, we're getting 100 in New York tomorrow. I'm not even joking. We got heat advisory. We got all that shit. Today, at one point, I had cleaned something, I don't know. And then I was hot. I stood in front of my AC and I was still hot.
Yo, that's the worst. It's like, yo, it doesn't get better than, like, this is the most I can do. I'm in front of the AC. That's funny.
Like, I'm like, yo, this shit is not doing anything for me right now.
Yeah, it's the air, just the overall, it's just different, man. The humidity here is different. I've been feeling this at the beginning of June. The locals are like, this is great. I'm like, this is too much. So by now, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Josue Pavon is back, as we said, late last week. Thank you to people who watched that. We are here recapping the NBA Finals. Josue was on the ground and is on the ground in Oklahoma City because he left his Boston home to cover the Oklahoma City Thunder. Hell of a choice you made. Are you the only reporter who's a back-to-back champion?
Man, that's funny you asked me that, man. It's not the first time I got that question, but I'm dying to know. I'm sure someone's done it. I mean, obviously.
Someone's done it, I'm sure.
Teams have gone back to back. But
I'm talking specifically about last year and this year.
Right. Two different teams.
Anyone else has gone from Boston to OKC?
Oh, no, that's never happened, I'm sure. I could say that with confidence, at least from a beat writer's perspective. Maybe in the early days of the Thunder, but, man, I haven't seen it in the past decade or so. But it's funny you ask me that because my boy, Sherrod Blakely, back in Boston, he was telling me how, man, he's been in the game, 20 plus years? I mean, he was at Miles of the Palace, so he's been around. He was like, I can't think of one person or one reporter that's done that, so... Yeah, man, it's been a cool back-to-back for sure. Two very different teams, but obviously two teams that achieved the same goal. And, man, this Oklahoma City Thunder team, man, the second youngest team to ever win a title. And the way they did it, man, it was unbelievable for sure.
I don't want to start with Tyrese Halliburton. We'll get there. But I do want to talk about him because that took me out of the game for, like, the rest of the first half. I tried paying attention. I felt like a ghost. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like
we got robbed.
I was watching the game. I cursed. Like, I was like, fuck, my fiance ran in. What happened? Tyrese got hurt. She's like, oh shit. And we stood there and just watched the
and you knew right away, man. But yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah. All right. first off, Oklahoma City Thunder gets their first title. We're not counting the Sonics title of 1978. It was in the '70s. We're not counting that.
79, close, I think, right? 79, 78, one of those.
All right. Now I have to look it up.
Now I have to know, right?
I just
know because the OGs, man, the Celtics OGs back in the day used to say that's how Dennis Johnson got to Boston, because he had won a championship with those guys. And then obviously he went on to Boston to, you know, lead them to another title.
1979.
Yeah, 79.
I knew it. 1978, they got to the finals and lost in seven to the Washington Bullets. So I was off by one game.
Yeah, literally.
How did you just say you're just one game? Okay, so Oklahoma City gets the title. You're there. You experience it. They didn't have to, unfortunately, do much offensively. It's been one of the narratives, and I agree with that. And just sort of looking at the box score here, Indiana, I mean, if you watch the game, you know this, but Indiana just had a tough time offensively without Tyrese Halliburton for most of the game. Oklahoma City did what they did defensively, or do what they did what they do, whatever. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander won MVP. Just what was your biggest takeaway? Like, what are the things that, because I like focusing on, okay, what did we learn from this? Because we have our priors, we have our predictions. Stuff actually happens in sports. We're surprised all the time.
Right.
I don't know how much we can take away from this individual game, but I do think this encapsulates like this great season Oklahoma City had. Like I have my my suspicions on what could or may not have happened or whatever for Game 7, but ultimately, the best team won the title. The best team from start to finish won the title, is how I feel. So where are you at with Oklahoma City this year? And you got to see it up close. So, like, you know, what you had to experience.
I think they got back to their identity, you know, just being a force on the defensive end of the floor. And obviously that you know, gets the fast break going. That gets everything going in the sense of what makes things easier for their offense. And obviously SGA has a big part of that. But I feel like in this game, what we saw from Chet Holmgren was exactly what these guys needed. I mean, getting it done on both ends of the floor, but specifically on the defensive end, which I feel like the Indiana Pacers were really kind of, I don't even want to say just targeting him, but just going through him. And I feel like he had a really tough time keeping up, especially in that game six. He guaranteed us he would play better, and that's exactly what he did. So I think that was a big part of it in the sense of just creating that distance that the Thunder needed. But like we talked about in the last episode, right, Brian? I mean, they don't need a whole lot of they don't – you give the Pacers a 8-9-point deficit, that's nothing to them, and they showed that in Game 7. You know, I think they really did get close to threatening the Thunder, but without Halliburton and without, like you said, just, you know, trying to find that offensive rhythm when it really mattered in that fourth quarter, it was almost like just the clock was just running out. There was a lot of fouls, a lot of, you know, going to the free throw line, but it seemed like, or felt like, whenever the Thunder scored, they scored right back. You know what I mean? But they just couldn't get out of that 6-7 point gap, and then all of a sudden they started running out of time. And you know, credit the Thunder obviously for collected a handful of stops when they really needed it. And you just kind of just saw that these guys were gassed, man. TJ McConnell, I mean, he's incredible. He's unbelievable in fulfilling his role, but to ask him to, you know, pile up those minutes, and like, he's like someone you put on a charger and you can put him back. You can put him out there, but after a while, man, he's got to recharge. And I just felt like without Halliburton, and rightfully so, Carlisle just stretched him to his max, and that's what we saw at the end. He was just gassed. Couldn't keep up.
Where are you at with this is an all-time defense, like that conversation? Is this an all-time defense to you? Because to me, it feels like, I mean, the case is there. And I don't want to say like this is definitively the best defense I've seen since like the 04 Pistons. It feels like a lot to like process. Mm. 21 years. It's a long time, but it is the best defense I feel like I've seen in years. I mean, where are you at with how historical this defense was? Because it's like you have several all defense level dudes or guys who are going to be all defense if they haven't been yet. Like Caruso, we already know, has been there a couple times. Chet Holmgren, we project, is going to be all defense for a number of years if he stays healthy. Jalen Williams has that capability, obviously, and he's already all NBA. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Yeah, like, I don't know if Shea's going to get all defense, but he's like a good defender. Cason Wallace, I think, will be all defense at some point in his career. I just named like Lou Dort also, who I thought should have been defensive player of the year this year. Like,
I was just going to say, some people would
6'7" dudes.
Yeah, some people would say that he's sort of the future Lou Dort, so to speak, in the sense of taking over that role at some point in Cason Wallace, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. This guy, you know, flat, the first two seasons of his career, like, the Thunder had been that team. And then all of a sudden, like, now he's a champion. And he was a part of that starting lineup, you know, throughout the finals and a key role on this team. But, yeah, man, I mean, like you said earlier, I think you're dead on, man. I think this is, historically speaking, probably the best defense we've seen since that Pistons team. And I know it's weird when you think about it that way because of how young they are and how experienced that Pistons team was. But when you look at the way the NBA is today and how it's changed so much, I feel like 1 through 5, they have the Thunder, right? Have so many weapons that can adapt to today's NBA. You know, the modern style of run and gun, you know, 3-point shooting, 1 through 5, you know, you name it. Like, Isaiah Hartenstein can run out there and defend. If you got a big that can, that, you know, likes to shoot three, same thing for Holmgren. He can also, you know, Hartenstein can protect the rim. So can Holmgren. And then the guards in the backcourt, I think that's where it really gets tough for opposing teams, especially teams that typically have, you know, that go-to guard that they rely on for scoring. The Celtics put, oh, excuse me, wow, the Thunder, rather, put so many, so many, damn, I can't believe I just said that. Damn, I've been so good, man. I haven't done that in months. The Thunder have limited so many of the top guards in the NBA, top scoring guards in the NBA this season. And a lot of that has to do with guys like Lou Dort, Cason Wallace, you know, Alex Caruso coming off the bench. I mean, all defensive guys, Lou Dort finally getting his due this season. But if you ask most Thunder fans, that should have happened last year or even the year before that, or should have been at least on the ballot or close to it. I mean, that's how good they are defensively. And I just feel like it just causes fits between them, between the bigs that I just mentioned, the guards. And then you have the wings that really like to play defense, you know, really like to defend. Jalen Williams is specifically being one of them. And when your star guard, who, you know, is the head of the snake and everyone follows their lead in Gilgeous Alexander, I mean, it's so easy for everyone to fall in line. And it's something that they want to do. I mean, Dagnall talks about it all the time. Like, they want to get better. A lot of these guys come from humble beginnings. You know, they want to grow. They want to, you know, whatever you people want to call a dynasty or go back to back, whatever the case is. But they're not even listening to all that noise, which I think is so, like, mature of this team that couldn't even open a champagne bottle after they won the championship. Like, it's incredible. Like, when you look at the age, the growth, obviously, how fast these guys have gotten to being this talented. And of course, the future, because you look at the NBA historically, guys continue to get better at age 23, 24, 25. I mean, there's still a ceiling above these guys, which is ridiculous when you think about how good they are already.
Well, let's do that now. I am very fascinated by
I didn't want to get ahead of myself, man. And I hate having this conversation, especially after Lou Dort just won a championship. But when you start pulling out payrolls like this, man, like, that's kind of the guy that people are starting looking at. Like, he's probably the one to go if there's the, you know, first one out of that starting five that we don't see, you know, on the Thunder anymore.
So we're not projecting cap space for the Thunder, or really, I mean, it seems like only the Nets and the Pistons might have space of maybe a couple of the teams.
I know, right?
It ain't much. True. And teams are obviously going to be running scared of the second apron, and they should, because that shit is a monster. But
yeah, man, Oklahoma, especially the small markets, man. People are a little scared over here. I mean, not now, but, you know, they know that train's coming.
Oklahoma City won't have to deal with those problems quite yet. But here's the thing. Everyone, like, they're the favorites to repeat. We've had a few straight years, Denver, Boston, and now Oklahoma City, where people are like, oh, yeah, that team, like, who's going to beat them? And there's always an answer, because Denver fell short against Minnesota. Boston fell short against the Knicks, which, as a New Yorker, I kind of think if you play that one again, I'm not sure it goes down that way. But still, I don't think I'm going to get a disagreement from a Boston guy. But still,
I mean, I don't know. Like, people can say what they want about, you know, obviously Tatum going down was devastating, but did the Celtics still win that game if Tatum wasn't hurt?
Oh, they would have. Yeah. No, they would have won that. But I'm just saying.
You think, like, they win that game? You think? I don't know.
No. I'm saying the Knicks would have finished out that game if Tatum didn't get hurt. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, if you play that series 10 times, I think that's one of the few times the Knicks.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you meant Celtics coming back from a 3-1 deficit.
No. Although if Tatum were healthy, I gave him a shot. Not a great shot, but a shot.
Same. Force a game 7, right?
Yeah. I think after game 2, I was like, oh, the Knicks are probably going to win this. And then after game 3, I was like, oh. And then game 4, the injury happened. I was like, yeah, they're cooked. Oklahoma City doesn't have those same, like, financial questions. So with Denver, there was a battle between the front office and the coaching staff, namely Calvin Booth and Michael Malone, which Matt Morris talked about extensively, who I work with at Action Network. He covers the Nuggets, and as a matter of fact, we'll be at the press conference tomorrow because the Nuggets are introducing a new member of the front office, prominent new member. The thing is, that situation got dicey because there was a disagreement about, okay, Michael Malone wants veterans. Calvin Booth wants Michael Malone to play the young guys and develop them because they could become pieces like a Christian Brown has, like I believe a Julian Strother will and a Peyton Watson will, but they weren't ready yet and Michael Malone wants to win now. So that was a sort of friction there, among other things. Basically, they didn't spend to sort of keep their run going. Mm. Boston did. They broke down and now they're going to probably shed salary because that team is very expensive. And also Wick, ends up like announcing, yeah, we're for sale after winning the championship, to which I was like, oh, that team's not going to stay together very long. And now with Tatum's injury, there are some questions. All of which is to say, long preamble, Oklahoma City doesn't have any of those questions. They have youth on their side. They're clearly better than everyone else. I don't know what's it going to take to beat this team, Josue, but that's not really where I want to go. I want to tee you off on this or tee you up for this. What do you think this is going to look like next year? Do you think they just run it back looking at the salary cap table that we have in front of us where, I mean, these are a lot of affordable contracts, but also they could do something here. They want to, they could get a little ambitious.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting, especially when you look at, I mean, the draft capital and all these picks that they have. And, you know, obviously they'll go through the process of figuring out who needs to spend time with G League and all that. I mean, Oklahoma City Blue, you know, they've produced a lot of the players that you see today, right? So it's a very including the coach, right? Mark Dagnall. He moved up from there. Lou Dort came from there. Alex Caruso started there, went around the NBA a bit, came right back. So it was a heck of a full circle moment for him. But
was Aaron Wiggins there?
Aaron Wiggins was there. Not a long time. But then you got guys like AJ Mitchell, who was a second round pick. Didn't get a whole lot of playing time during the playoffs, but didn't spend any time in the G League. Was with the Thunder the entire season, whereas their first round pick and Dylan Jones spent most of the season in the G League. So I say all that to say, like, they truly value that, because when you look at some of these key players that they have and they were able to grow in such little time, that I think it'll be interesting when they start thinking about the books and looking ahead. But I don't know if that's something that's going to happen next season. It could. I mean, if a trade presents itself, if there's an injury or something, you know what I mean? Like, if they look into a upgrade one of these spots. But like I said earlier, I mean, Lou Dort is certainly that guy, just because there's other quote unquote Lou Dorts they can kind of insert there for more than half the cost, you know? And I just think that, like you said, it's not a bridge that they have to cross right away, but it's certainly down the road and it's going to come up soon. But but if you ask me, man, they're going to try to, keep this, running back and keep this team as close as for as long as they can, I think, and then see what happens.
In laying this out a little bit more, so Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to get $38 million next year, 40 year after, and then his inevitable supermax whatever extension is going to kick in after that. An extension which will be agreed upon, no doubt. I think this summer he's eligible for it, as a matter of fact. If I'm not mistaken. So there's that. Hartenstein is the second biggest salary there. I always saw that as filler. I think this is kind of like transitioning into Chet Holmgren being ready when he's ready. Hartenstein's contract also is kind of hand-to-hand with that, because he's making 28.5, and then he has a team option. Not a player option, a team option for 28.5 that they could just be like, decline. Now here comes Chet Holmgren's big pay raise. Same thing with Jalen Williams, who's going to be extension eligible at the same time. As a matter of fact, both of them are extension eligible this summer, but they won't see the money come in until 2026. So Oklahoma City can pay Isaiah Hartenstein one more year and then decline it and then pay out like their big three And Shays won't even kick in for another year after that. Lu Dort is an interesting one. You mentioned it, 18.2 this year, this coming year. And then the club option for 26-27, which they could decline. Or as you mentioned, like he's a guy they could potentially move. I know that's someone that people have mentioned just because it's a nice number to have in a trade. Caruso signed the extension. I don't think he's going anywhere. I honestly think he's heart and soul guy that you just keep. He's not to diss your man, but he's probably a better Marcus Smart is what I would say.
Hey.
I like Marcus Smart, but he.
Which Marcus Smart are we talking? 22 or no?
22, yeah.
Defensive player of the year, Marcus?
I like that's the Marcus Smart that I probably liked more.
He might be neck and neck.
He might be done now. We'll see. I think he's a resurgence candidate on the right team. Just get him out of miserable situation.
Yeah, you gotta get out of DC. You gotta get the cap for sure.
Yeah. Isaiah Joe, his contract is ascending. But that's also potentially useful for a trade because we saw him get phased out over the course of the playoffs. 12.3 million next year, 11.3, and then a club option after that for 11.3. So if you package together Dort and Joe, that's interesting. Aaron Wiggins is at 10-1, then 9-2, then 8-3, and then 8-3 team option again. These are goddamn Presti. Jesus Christ. Just killing it for the front office.
It's insane.
Kenrich Williams. He
got lit last night, and good for you, Sam.
Yeah,
Why not? The players ain't going to do it, so you might as well.
He finally got his half of his players can't. Kenrich Williams, 7-1, and then the team option for 7-1.
Caruso was going in, though. Shout out to him.
We'll see if Usman Jang could be something. I think Cason Wallace is going to be great. He's another guy I think is extension eligible, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So you can keep him too.
But it will cost you a lot less than someone like Dort. But yeah.
Jalen Williams, the other Jalen Williams, has a club option here. Part Asian Jalen Williams. And then we have. Then we have someone who I was very high on pre-draft, Nikola Topic, who I'm highlighting here. He hasn't played yet.
Nah, he hasn't.
3 years left on his deal.
And if people are excited about him.
I think he's going to be good. Like, this is a cheat code, Josue, is the point. And then on top of that, they have like 70,000 draft picks for the next 7 years.
They got two coming up in a couple of days. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, just
first rounders.
What are the interesting things of everything I just highlighted with the money and how they can sort of reshape this team a little bit, you know, next
year? Yeah. I mean, I think you said it, man. Like guys that you know, if you were to put some of these contracts together, and I don't know, seek out a secondary wing, maybe. I think that's only whenever someone asks me, like, what's the one thing this team's missing? I think that's the only thing that really stands out. And that could happen again, based off an injury or based off an opportunity where a team is just trying to, you know, capitalize or trying to add a few pieces. By subtraction, you know, I mean, I just think I think a lot of it has to do with obviously how the team performs, but as well, like when you look at like particular stretches, I feel like when you got guys who can really find their rhythm and, you know, maybe they're going at the right time or so. We've seen this before, right, Brian? Like all of a sudden a trade comes out because that team was that player caught a team's eye, you know, and I think maybe something like that were to happen. But again, that's really up to Sam Presti and when he really wants to start thinking about, you know, the finances and all that, which again, it's going to be sooner than people think. You know, it could be midseason this year. Do I see them doing something big in the draft? Not really, to be honest, unless it's someone that they really want, maybe they move up. But I'd be really surprised if you see a few players get traded, some kind of deal, you know, on draft night this week.
You mentioned this actually in the story. Let me pull this up. So this is on Clutch Points. Holmgren and Jalen Williams are eligible to sign 5 years, $247 million extension. You also noted that Williams is going to see an increase to $296 because he made all NBA this season.
Right. And you mentioned at the top, Holmgren. If Holmgren makes all defense, if he gets the full season, he could get it. I mean, look. Man, he just set the NBA record for the most blocks in Game 7, 5 blocks. I mean, he could.
Is it all defense or does it have to be all NBA or DPOY? I think it's all NBA.
Oh, no, no. You know what? Yeah. You're right. No. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, all NBA.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, you wrote it right here. All-NBA. MVP, All-NBA defense.
All-NBA, but All-NBA is interesting because, honestly, if he doesn't get hurt, I honestly thought he was on track to have an all-star season. And I know it's a small sample size. I know it's only, what, 10 games he got hurt. He was out for 2 months and came back. But it could happen. I mean, would you be shocked if the Thunder have 3 all-stars next season? I wouldn't be. So, I mean, all-stars kind of puts him in that conversation of making one of these All-NBA teams, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's so interesting. God,
yeah. But yeah, you're right though. Defensive Player of the Year would be huge. I'd be surprised to be honest, because it's just, you know, Wemby and so many other guys out there. But yeah, one of these All NBA teams, man. You never know. One of the three.
And then Shea's eligible for, I think it's 4 for 293.
Yeah,
I think this is the number. I also think he could potentially wait. And get like a Bleacher Report said 5 for 380 is supermax. Just it's 60, 70 something a year for
insane,
you know, like this is where it's going to get challenging, right? So if you're wondering how does anyone stop this team, like this is how you do it. It's just it becomes too expensive, yeah. Right? This is great. I think they have the window to repeat right now. And then even when the extensions kick in for J-Dub and for Chet Holmgren, you're going to be able to pay Shea just $40 million before his kicks in. And then 27, 28 is when, like, that's going to be a question. So for right now, they're champions. But, like, that's when, like, I don't think this is going to be 5 years in a row. I think we're past that. Or I don't think we were ever there. But you know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, no, I know what you mean.
But I think that's where it is. But for now, I mean, they have to be the favorites. They're the best team. We'll shift to Indiana now. Tyrese Halliburton. I'm not going to do what ESPN did and basically pull up the video, but
I know what's up with that, man.
They did that a lot. So like, they were doing that a lot. They kept replaying it. But Tyrese Halliburton officially injured his Achilles, ruptured his Achilles. We will pull up the ESPN story because Shams reported it. But I mean, we also knew that this was going to happen.
McAfee must have been pissed last night.
forgot he's a Pacers fan. He's an Indiana guy.
Yeah, he got the crowd all riled up one of those games, and Thunder fans didn't like it.
So we have a note from Shams. He'll likely miss Tyrese Halliburton. Likely miss all of next season. See, this is the disheartening thing. Is like, so Damian Lillard, who's older, ruptured his Achilles. There's a chance he comes back, but Achilles is not something you want to or can rush, really.
Especially at 36, man, 35, yeah. Oldie, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have after that. You have Jason Tatum, who he ruptures his in May, and that one was tough. Don't know if he's going to come back next year. I wouldn't bank on it, but there's a world where you start to see progress, and then he makes it back like in March or April before
the playoffs. I was thinking that, yeah. March, early April.
Achilles is really a two-year process from the standpoint of, like, even if you do come back in, say, a year, you're – often not yourself. Like, there are going to be some outlier examples, but like Kevin Durant went back to being Kevin Durant. He also sat for a year and a half.
Right. With that's the best year. Example, though. That's
with,
the best.
With the COVID year, by the way. Like, yeah. He got injured in June, as we all remember in the NBA Finals 2019. He didn't play for the Nets until like December of 20. And
that's when the season started. Yeah. Yeah.
Because even in the bubble, it was like, "Yo, could he come back?" And then they were like, "Nah, he ain't gonna play." You know, like and it's like, what were the Nets honestly doing? Like at that point, it's like, you're not. Why would you? Why even risk it? So Halliburton, given that he's hurt so late into June, we have a couple of comments. I'm actually gonna get to those in a sec. But Tyrese Halliburton says, Sham says of Tyrese Halliburton that he'll likely be out and. I think he probably sits next year, but we'll ultimately see. The calf strain and all that stuff. Just tell me about the vibe in the arena as you were there. Was it one of those things where everyone was just like, because it felt through the TV, no one knows how to cheer, what to say, like, what was the vibe like as it happened?
I mean, unfortunately, Brian, there was a lot of cheering because he was down. It was a turnover, right? So I feel like it took the arena a little bit to realize, like, oh no, he's hurt. And then when he was, you know, slamming the floor with his fist, that's when it became clear. And then, man, the entire Pacers team pretty much went over to him, man, which I thought was really telling as to just how concerned they were and how just like, just the way he screamed, I feel like really worried them. Even obviously Coach Carlisle went over there, and it's just unfortunate, man. Even some of the biggest diehard Thunder fans would say the exact same, because, you know, you obviously they want to see their team win, but not like that. You know, I think we got cheated a bit of seeing that classic Game 7 guard showdown between him and SGA. I actually wrote about who's going to have that big moment, and obviously we didn't get that. And I think we do if he doesn't get hurt. Do the Pacers win? I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure, but I think it would have come down to the wire. The way I saw it was, you know, the Thunder put together a few stops similar to what we saw, you know, in Game 7, but with the score much closer, and with Tyrese Haliburton out there. You know, it's just, it's unfortunate, man. I was just talking about how I did a hit for Boston Sports Radio, and I was talking about how NBA has to address this, man. They have to at least go and look in and you know, do their research as to why is this happening? Why are star players going through these devastating injuries in the postseason after an 82 game, you know, regular season, after a round or two of the playoffs, competitive basketball? Some of these guys are playing every other day, you know, and I've always been, you know, an advocate for seeing the NBA not cut down from the 82 games. So from a business standpoint, that's just not going to happen, for being realistic, but adding a week or 2 weeks, you know what I mean? Like, stagger these games a bit. I just think the NBA, like, if you talk to most doctors or people who are around, you know, sports science, they'll say like the body's not supposed to play full basketball games, four games a week, let alone with the way the NBA is nowadays and its pace is faster than ever, or at least faster than it was in the 70s. And they weren't obviously playing the way it is now, the way modern basketball is now today with all the technology. I mean, they didn't have that back then. Like, why can't the NBA get ahead of this, or at least try to, you know, with everything that they have, all these resources and all these, you know, Cedric Maxwell used to tell me all the time, man, back in the day, there was the coach and there was a couple of assistants. And now you got trainers, you know, you got two rows of assistant coaches. You got personnel who are
shooting coaches
who are hired for specific coaches.
Yeah,
like, there has to be some sort of research or some sort of effort by the NBA during this offseason to try to address this and see what's going on.
Okay, you teed me up for one of my favorite things to get pissed off about, and then I'll get to the comments. I do think they should shorten the season. I don't think they will because of the money, as you mentioned. But one of the things that I always mention when it comes to this is, I know injuries could be freaky, but we all know that they're happening more often than ever. And that's just across every sport. That's not even limited to here. It's like that in baseball. It's like that in, I feel like, in boxing, even a sport like boxing, believe it or not.
Guys, they fight more nowadays, right? Or is that just
way less
in boxing?
The problem is they're training hard and too hard at times, and then they're getting hurt and barely fighting, and you know, political reasons or whatever. But regardless, in football, I feel like we're seeing more injuries in football than we used to. But we'll stick to basketball here for the purposes of shit. I think even in pro wrestling, we're seeing more injuries, but that's another story for another day.
Oh no, those two schedules crazy.
Yeah, and it used to be worse. It used to be crazier. So with basketball, the best teams in Europe play in a season across all competitions 60-something, maybe 70-something, maybe like 80-plus games, maybe. But oftentimes it'll be in like the 60s or maybe 70 or something along those lines, like the best teams.
Right.
These games are also spaced out more. They play fewer back-to-backs. They don't travel as much throughout Europe, and they're 40-minute games. They're not 48-minute games. Yeah. And they also play deeper rotations. It's common for teams where their best player is playing not even 30 minutes a night. Whereas in the NBA, like, I mean, that's every team has multiple guys basically playing.
Pretty much the starters playing 30 plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minus a guy or two, maybe he hits 28, 27, but for the most part, they're playing 30 plus. Yeah.
And if you look at the Knicks this past year, for example, like.
Oh, man. Yo, your boy. Your boy has his favorites. Jeez.
this is the difference. And when you look at just those different things, and guys in Europe, like, injuries happen. They're not happening like the way that it happens here. Same thing in Australia, and those seasons are shorter. In China, the seasons are shorter. In Puerto Rico, the seasons are shorter as well. Like everywhere else, and in most leagues, the minutes are shorter. Or the minutes are fewer, rather. But regardless, like, the best teams are not even often playing a full NBA game's worth of a calendar season or a calendar year or whatever. And on top of that, you have 82 plus preseason plus the playoffs. If you play a playoff round and preseason, that's already at 90 because you have four preseason games. You'll have at least four playoff games if you make it to the playoffs. We know that more than half the league makes the playoffs because it's 16 teams out of 30. So you're talking about half the league, more than half the league playing 90 games. And then if you play like deeper into the first round or you get a second round, you could get to 100 depending on how long the series is because you have your 82, you have your four preseason games, you have give or take six games in the next two rounds. Like you add 12 to that. So that's basically like 98. You're right at 100 games. And if you're deeper than that, obviously, like look at what Oklahoma City just did. They played over 100 games this year. So did the Pacers. Probably so did the Knicks. Probably so did, who was at the Western Conference Finals? Minnesota. I've been blanking on that. They lost in five, but regardless.
And I was going to say, man, the Thunder, they got lucky. I mean, yeah, Holmgren was a tough loss, but, I mean, look at a lot of these other teams, you know, with that loss more than
with
one
the injuries,
player.
Yeah. The point of it is, though, like, I think, and then on top of that, this is the other piece to get to that's worthwhile. The game is faster than before. The game is much, much faster. Indiana plays a taxing style of basketball, even though it's very
phenomenal. I mean, look at the way that first quarter started, man. It was, fun to watch. Don't get me wrong. It's fun to watch, especially for game seven, but
it's hard to do that. And some NBA teams will be like the increase in injuries. Some people around the league believe it's the lack of practicing because you're not building up your muscles in that same way. And some other
that's
people,
a good point too. Yeah.
Some other people like me will say, well, a lot of these kids are also coming into the league a little more worn out than they used to be because they're not playing multiple sports. They're just specializing in a sport growing up. They're playing that sport 12 months of the year. They're playing high level, high leverage games at a very young age, five games in a weekend because of whatever the schedule is. It doesn't have to be AAU. I'm not going to label it AAU because we have different sneaker circuits and tournaments and this jam and classic and all these different things that you know, you've covered. Jam. Yeah. Just going into it. So like it's a combination of all these different things sort of meeting at the NBA level. And it wasn't common before to see guys in their 20s and women in their 20s blowing out their Achilles, tearing their knees. It's kind of crazy. So I think the league has to really take a look into it. Maybe it's like you said, spacing out schedule, but I don't know if that's going to be good either, because then you're just making the grind kind of longer. The real answer is just making the schedule 70, 68 games or something along those lines.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I just feel like the NBA would never do it. But
I don't think they are either, because even overseas, like they space it out more, but also like it's not frowned upon to compete in Eurobasket, which is going to be this summer, the AmeriCup, which is going to be this summer, AfroBasket, also this summer, and the Asian Cup, also this summer. Like, you can do those things while playing in your team in Europe. You can also play in like the World Cup qualifying rounds that are periodically through November and February and the summer. Like, you can still do those things because you're playing shorter basketball games, not as many minutes, 2-3 games in a week. It's spaced out better.
Yeah.
Like, they just have a better formula out there in different parts of Europe. It's not just Europe, period. And also Australia and Puerto Rico, et cetera. But Yeah, I think with the NBA, it's just they need to just do something different. And I don't think they're going to do it because money, money, money. Like, that's ultimately what it comes down to. So
you think their attempt at it was with the NBA Cup?
No. I think that was just to make the regular season like matter more and earlier. And I like the NBA Cup as a concept, but
They address the ratings during NFL season.
Yeah.
There's no way you can really, but anyway, that's beside the point. But those long breaks for teams that don't advance, I feel like that was sort of like they try to kind of address two things at once.
I don't know.
It's not enough.
They've cut down back to backs. I think travel was a big part of this. Like, the blood clot thing was scary. You had Damian Lillard and Victor Wembanyama having blood clots. And some people came out, from the medical field and were like, hey, these guys are flying a lot. Not that that's why, but like, that could be a contributing factor. And also flying often at shitty times. You finish up a game in your time zone at 10. You have to do media. You have to eat and all these different things. You have to, bus it back, to hop on a plane to go to the next city. Yeah. You're landing in that next city at like 4 a.m., 3 a.m. sometimes. You're going to bed like how late at that point? 5, 6? Like, this is a common thing. And we're just kind of like, it's the NBA, whatever, whatever. But it's hard. It's hard to do all that and play 4 games, 48 minutes, hard. You're running. Right. It's fast. It's 4 times in a week, in a 7 game, 4 games in 6 nights and all these different things. Like, it's hard. It's hard to do that. And it's harder now than it used to be because the game's played at a different pace, among all these other things that I mentioned. So they have to take a deep look into it. And I don't know what the answer is other than just shortening the season, but I don't think they're going to do that. So that's right. Where we're at. All right, let's get to some comments, then we'll get out of here. Dime Dropper says, these comments are interesting. They're all kind of the same, which makes me question the legitimacy. Surpassed
Kobe.
SGA has officially surpassed Kobe. Watch this. I'm just go through each of them one on one. Dime Dropper says SGA has officially surpassed Kobe, and he's the best player in the world, miles above Jokic and Giannis. Time to put SGA in Jordan talks. SGA wasn't carried by Shaq. Don't Tell Santa Cruz says I think it's time to put SGA in Jordan convos. In my opinion, he surpassed Kobe, leading this bad team to 68 wins in a championship. Vincent says,
damn, they're a bad team now.
Hold on. Vincent says, I agree, honestly, at DTSC. I think this championship was more impressive than any of Kobe's. I think SGA is more skilled than Kobe as well. He doesn't have Shaq. And Legend of Oxperiment says, I think firmly the best player in the world above Jokic and Giannis by a large gap. Jokic had a better team than SGA and lost to SGA. SGA is close to MJ, in my opinion, if he goes back-to-back. I think all those comments are either AI or coordinated. I don't think they're legitimate because they were all saying the same shit. I'm looking at that. I'm like, not AI, but I think that's
coordinated. I'm like, yo, Brian, don't talk to a bunch of fans like this, man. You're like, no, hold on. Let me go there next week.
I think it might be a group trying to troll or whatever. But no, I don't think I don't think SGA. And I'm not like the biggest Kobe guy, RIP, but I don't think SGA has surpassed them or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either, man. Way too early for that. And you know what? That's not even straight. I don't know why I said that about Shaq. It's not a straight. If anything, it's a compliment that he had Shaq. But yeah, I mean, hypothetically or whatever, let's pretend these people are real saying this stuff. It's too soon, man. Too soon. Face of the league and all that stuff. If you're into
that. In the box experiments is now we legit.
Now we legit.
SGA is above Kobe. I'm not. I'd like. Here's what I would say. Here's what I would say.
Well, I was going to say real quick. I mean, like, people who are into the whole face of the league thing, I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. If you're into that conversation, this is the guy. But he's got to climb that mountain. You know what I mean? But first one's a good start.
Can I admit SGA is above Jokic and Giannis, though? I mean, he's above in the sense that he won MVP, he won the title, he won the scoring title. But, like, I mean, Jokic is not on a better team than the Thunder. Very much not. I think SGA had one of the single best seasons a shooting guard or a guard period has had probably ever. Individually, I can't do the SGA Kobe. Like, it's a 7-year career ultimately, you know what I mean? Yeah. If he keeps doing this, then but I personally don't like having just like a guy who is like 6-7 years into his career. Like, I kind of want to just let them go throughout their journey, whatever. Like, I don't want to
circle back.
I can't do the all time thing yet. I can't yet. Like with Jokic, I can start to do it because Jokic has won 3 MVPs, has more of a body of work, has been
Which that's why I think he hasn't surpassed them. But obviously,
10 years,
know, he's just getting started. If you ask me, SGA, right? But no, what I was gonna say is
that's the point. SGA is just getting started. It's not fair to him.
Well, I feel like you're comparing right, and this is what I'm about to say. The reason why it's not fair is because if you look at what Kobe did at SGA's age, I mean, he's right on track. But to say he surpassed him, you know what I mean? Like, what was Kobe? Kobe won in what, 2000? So what? That means he was what, 22, 23? And obviously, yeah, he had Shaq, but 3 rings, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Compared to where SGA is, like, he's just getting started. If you're looking at age, right? So I don't know.
Yeah. And then the comment back, and then we'll wrap here, says SGA says, my bad. ESPN says SGA is the best in the world and points out that Jokic has had bad playoffs the last couple of years.
His team hasn't been the same, man. That team that won the chip is long gone.
What I would say is I don't care what ESPN thinks. I think they have some great, like Bobby Marks is awesome. I love Jorge Sedano's work, Legler, SVP, a lot of people. But, like, I mean, yes, you're going to say SGA is the best player in the world after winning a title. I don't care either way. Like, give him the best player of the world title. I think that's fine. You know what I mean? In totality, though, like, I do think the body of work kind of matters. But if you want to give SGA the crown right now, like, that's cool. I also wouldn't say Jokic had a bad playoffs the last couple of years. I think, as we mentioned at the top, there's some extenuating circumstances with that team, with that front office, and what appears to be some sort of disconnect that Jokic is trying to carry and navigate through. It's very different than the togetherness that OKC has.
Yeah, plus exactly.
The defense. So
the crib is shaky right now.
Yeah, I care about the context. That's Josue Pavón. Josue's got two. Teams that he's covered that have been NBA champions in his career. So that's great. I have not gotten to that point. I mean, I had the fun Nets team that made the playoffs before KD and Kyrie got there, and I had the Knicks team this past year that got to the conference finals, but nothing quite like that. But
how you feeling about that Knicks team, though? You know they're not done. You want to see them running back? Are you upset about the Durant thing? I hope you're not upset about that.
You know I'm not a Knicks fan, first of all. Second of all, they need to hire a coach before I could even think about what the next steps would be. I think the Cavs are legit. I think the Knicks are legit. Those are the best two teams in the East next year on paper.
Just call Mike Malone. Get it done, New York. Come on.
I don't think Mike Malone's the answer.
No? Who do you think it is? Don't tell me you're going to poach one of these coaches in the NBA.
No, I think Mike Malone is too much like Tibbs, and I feel like it'll end up being like Taylor Jenkins, Mike Brown, maybe Johnny Bryant, somebody like that.
Mike Brown's interesting.
Somebody mentioned Budenholzer to me the other day, and I was like, really?
Nah, man.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, we're out of here.
There, man. If he goes
back here on the channel, by the way, tomorrow morning, me and my boy Gerard Hector are going to talk about the Kevin Durant trade.
Hey, Gerard, I want you into that.
We're going to talk about the Kevin Durant trade. 9:30 a.m. Eastern time is the tentatively scheduled time. I have to go run to another pod. Follow Josue's work, Joe_Sway, Clutch Points. A lot of off-season talk.
Yes,
now. Absolutely. At the Thunder Wonder title, and now they're going to try to run it back. So follow him there. And shout out
content for tomorrow too.
And shout out to SGA, who many people think is the best player in the world. Honestly, they got a strong case. Finals MVP as well. So there's that. All right.
Thank you. Lead.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.